So good to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Film Week coming up in about 20 minutes. Our critics review Uncut Gems, the latest film from the Safdie brothers, Benny and Josh. Adam Sandler stars, and Kevin Garnett, former NBA star, in the film as well. Bombshell, starring Margot Robbie, Charlize Theron, and Nicole Kidman. Jumanji, The Next Level, Dwayne Johnson is back. And Richard Jewell, the new historic drama from director Clint Eastwood. All of those are on tap. But it's my pleasure to bring back together the triple play, A. Martinez, Nick Roman, and me to talk baseball. And we have added a quadruple play, so rare because it's impossible to happen. Bill Shaken, Los Angeles Times national baseball writer, joins us. Bill, good morning. Thanks so much. Winter meetings just concluded yesterday in San Diego. What for you the biggest news?
Well, it was two things, I think, in terms of Southern California. One is that the Angels got one of the three big fish in free agency, signing Anthony Rendon, a third baseman, to a contract that is worth $245 million, more than the Dodgers or Angels have ever paid to a player in free agency. And then the Dodgers, sitting here with the same roster essentially that they had before the winter meeting started, they added a relief pitcher, and certainly that will help. But for all the talk of the Dodgers going in on one of those big players, Gerrit Cole, Steven Strasburg, or Anthony Rendon, they went 0-3.
Strasburg re-signing with the Washington Nationals after he opted out of his contract there. Of course, the Yankees picking up the top-rated pitcher in the entire free agent class with Gerrit Cole. So those are the big signings. You still got some free agent pitchers that are left, Bill, like the Dodgers. Ryu, any chance the Dodgers re-sign him or he goes to the Angels?
I think there's a chance of both. I mean, he'd really like to stay with the Dodgers. The question for Ryu is he's already on the wrong side of 30, as they like to say in baseball. He's been durable recently, but he does have some injury history. And he's in an era where teams tend to pay on what they think you're going to do in the future, not what they used to do, which is, oh, you just pitched a no-hitter or made an all-star team. Let's hire you because of that. So I don't know what his contract will end up being. The market is pretty good so far. If he wants to come back to the Dodgers, I think it will be on a contract that would be worth far less than he might get somewhere else.
Let me bring into the conversation the triple play. And A, your thoughts about where the Dodgers stand with no signings as of this point?
Well, they're still going to be plenty in playoff contention. Even winning the division again is certainly right there in the mix for them. But it does send a message out to the fans, especially the fans that can't watch them on television, that they're good with what they got. And when fans see the team not progressing to that level, I know it's very difficult to win a World Series. Only one team gets to do it. But when they see them not seemingly doing something to get closer to that or try and fix whatever it is that has limited them or stopped them from doing it, I think that sends a wrong message. And I don't know if the Dodgers right now need to be sending that kind of message in LA.
Well, and also they have the challenge of Dave Roberts managing in big games. And so you have to be that much better than the other teams to be able to overcome the kinds of pitching decisions Roberts has shown he makes in high stakes games. I mean, that ups the ante, Nick.
Well, it does. And you know, the Dodgers are basically giving the message that we believe a lot in the guys that we have in the minors. So that kind of puts a lot of pressure on them that they better deliver. So if you're Gavin Lux or if you're Dustin May or you're Tony Gonsolin, it seems that the team is saying, you know, you're the guys are Julio Urias. If they make mistakes on any of those players, if they are not what they what the Dodgers think they are, then A's right. I mean, the message to the fans is, you know, we're going to spend some money, but we're not going to spend big money. We're not going to take that big chance. And I'm thinking back in history, I mean, you know, whether it was this management group or any Dodger management group, you know, what's their record on signing big-name free agents? And the last one that they signed really was Zach Greinke. That one turned out pretty well. So, you know, there are times when a lot of money and some extra years is a really good thing, and other times, you know, when it just doesn't work.
The Greinke mistake was the opt-out that
enabled
them to go. Well,
that's right. They gave them an opt-out, and they do like to do that kind of thing with opt-outs because they don't want to get stuck with somebody who's going to go long-term and not be very good. On the flip side is if a player really wants to stick around and make a lot of money and you know, be the face of the team, the Dodgers aren't the team that's going to do that for you unless you came up through their system.
And one more little thing on that. The Dodgers had a golden opportunity the last 6 years while the Lakers were at the lowest point they've ever been at to try and reclaim a little bit of this town. It's always going to be, I think, probably a Laker town first and foremost, but they had a big opportunity because the Lakers stunk and the Dodgers were really good, but now the Lakers made the move.
Yeah.
They go get LeBron James, they go get Anthony Davis, and it looks like they're back on the top of the heap. And the Dodgers, meanwhile, maybe if they're not, you know, leveling out, maybe they might be taking down a notch or two. So this is the wrong time to not be active.
Well, especially if the Lakers do end up winning the NBA championship, yeah, which is within the realm of possibility. A lot of other excellent teams like the Clippers, but it's certainly possible this year.
Well, and of course, in the NBA, you can sign one guy or two guys and make a huge difference. It doesn't work quite that way in Major League Baseball, unless you're already really good. And then if you can get one more guy, then that can make the difference. You know, you look at it just in recent history, when there were pitchers available in the 2017 season, you know, there were three pitchers that were out there. Sonny Gray was out there, and Justin Verlander was out there, and Yu Darvish was out there, and the Dodgers wouldn't go for Verlander because he had too much money still in his contract, and he was a little bit older. So like Bill said, on the other side of 31, except that was Justin Verlander.
But Verlander was kind of shaky. If you remember before that, he locked in after the trade was made.
Yeah, that's true. But I would say if you looked at Darvish's record up to that point, it wasn't really, you know, lighting up the sky either. So, you know, you had to make your choice, and the Dodgers made the choice for you, Darvish, instead of with Justin Verlander, and it kind of burned him.
All right. Well, I'd love to hear from Air Talk listeners your thoughts about what we've seen in this offseason so far. Baseball's winter meetings in San Diego concluded last night. We're talking about the huge signing by the Angels of third baseman Anthony Rendon, fresh off his team's winning the World Series, the Washington Nationals. He had a great season, finished third for the MVP of the National League, now joining the American League Angels as their regular third baseman. Is Tommy La Stella going to play second for the Angels?
It looks like now, because if Rendon is the third baseman, then La Stella goes to second base, and David Fletcher becomes, you know, like the super sub and fills in for everybody across the infield. It's not a bad way to go. You got to hope that La Stella is back to what he is. And now he's with Joe Maddon, who really liked him when they were both together in the Cubs. And La Stella was just eye-opening last year until that terrible, you know, bad break.
Yeah.
You know, he makes the All-Star team, and then he breaks his leg.
Yeah,
he can't play.
That was very sad. Bill Shaken, L.A. Times national baseball writer. Bill, the Angels desperately need a catcher, it seems. I don't even know who's left on the roster to play that position. What are the potential players out there?
Let me jump in on a couple things.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have the whatever button you push like you're on Jeopardy. To David Fletcher should absolutely be the Angels' second baseman next year. Tommy La Stella had one good half season. It was very good. There's nothing else in his career that would indicate he should be an everyday player. Fletcher can move around, so can La Stella. I would bet you'll probably see La Stella play some first base next year because you don't want to see Albert Pujols there every day. But Fletcher at this point is a better player. I imagine the Angels will bring them to spring training and say open competition and
see
what happens. But Fletcher, Rendon, and the shortstop Andrelton Simmons are an amazing defensive infield. And so I would not at all be surprised to see that the pitchers the Angels go get from here, which of course they still need, would be guys who get a lot of ground balls. And that would be guys like Dallas Keuchel, Hyunjin Ryu, and Wade Miley. And as far as the Dodgers go, you know, they have a pretty successful, depending on how you define success, operating philosophy. When the new ownership came in and said, we got some money to spend, they looked around at the teams at the time, and this was the early part of the decade, and looked at the Phillies coming off their back-to-back World Series appearances and the Yankees before that. And what they saw were teams that had spent a ton of money on free agents and yet were stuck with players on the downside of their careers in their mid to late 30s with expensive contracts that you had to play those players because they're still on the roster and nobody else wanted them because they were way over the hill. So the Dodgers said, we got to invest in player development. We want to bring our own players up from the minor leagues. We want to constantly replenish the roster. So we're never in a position of, oh my God, we have to sign free agents, which unfortunately for the Angels is where they are now. It's worked in the sense that they've won the division every single year. And if you ask the Dodgers, they'll say, we want to win the World Series just as much as the fans do. We think our best chance to win the World Series is to get into the playoffs every year. Because if we spend money with the idea that this is our one year and we're going to go all in, and if we don't win that year, maybe we're down for 3 or 4 years. This way, we can get in the playoffs every year. And once you're in the playoffs, it's kind of a lottery ticket. Last year, the Nationals were a wild card team, and they won.
And didn't have a particularly good half, first half of the season. They caught fire late. Bill, hold the thought. We'll be back. You're listening to the Triple Play Plus. Bill Shakin here on 89.3 KPCC. Nick Roman, A. Martinez, yours truly. It's the Triple Play Talking Baseball coming up. We'll talk about the study just released on why it appeared the baseball was carrying so much farther during the 2019 season. Was it the way that the players were being trained to hit the baseball? Was it the ball itself? Did baseball tell Rawlings to juice the baseball? We'll find out. We'll be back in just 1 minute. Major League Baseball commissioned a study to determine what happened to cause so many more home runs in 2019. It was a record-setting season in runs scored and in home runs. There were so many dynamic offenses in Major League Baseball. Everybody's suspicions were raised. Bill Shakin, LA Times, a baseball writer, real quickly, what did the study conclude?
There were two main points. One was that part of the reason there were a lot of home runs hit is because players have changed their swings. And, you know, some of the older listeners remember you playing Little League and everybody said, hit a line drive, hit a line drive. And now, you know, players hit uppercuts. They call it launch angle. It's the kind of swing that coaches would have yelled at us about in Little League. And, you know, players would have been sent back down to the minor leagues. But it's an uppercut swing where you try to literally launch the ball into the air to give you a better chance of hitting a home run. That explanation doesn't really hold a lot of water because launch angle has been a thing for many years now. It didn't just start last year. The other main theory was that the balls are a lot more variable than anyone had suspected in terms of what comes out of the manufacturing process. The seams are not the same on every ball, so they maybe fly a little bit farther depending on how high the seams might be. And the question was put to Rob Manfred at his press conference the other day.
The commissioner of baseball.
Saying there's that much variability in the balls. And one ball might fly a little bit farther than others. Why don't you just have synthetic baseballs? And the variability would be a lot less. And he said, well, we love the charm of the hand-stitched baseballs. So that's where Major League Baseball says where they are. And I can't say that everybody in baseball is like, okay, we've gotten to the bottom of it, because not everybody thinks so.
And now they're suggesting humidors, like I think they've used in Colorado, in Denver, because of the carry of the balls there. Hey, what do you think of this study?
Well, when it comes to the seams, when I was playing in high school, whenever we came across a high school team that used diamond baseballs. Everyone remember diamond baseballs?
Yeah.
Those seams were raised a lot higher, so all the pitchers could really snap off a curveball with those diamond baseballs. And because the seams were higher, when a batter would hit them, there would be more drag on the ball, so it wouldn't travel as far. So if you were a pitcher and had higher seams, you were loving life. But as Bill says, if there's a batch of baseballs that are as smooth as a cue ball, that thing's going to fly, and a pitcher will have no movement on it whatsoever, so they won't be able to throw as good of a slider or a curveball. They're just basically throwing fastballs. So yeah, there's a lot of stock in that in terms of why the ball is leaving. But As slowly as baseball tends to move on things, and it seems like Manfred, the commissioner, seems dug in on the character of having different groups of baseballs, I don't think that's changing anytime soon. I think it's a grab bag, literal grab bag of baseballs for major league pitchers.
And baseballs are still hand-stitched, aren't they? Yeah, Bill, isn't that right? They're hand-stitched?
That's correct.
Yeah, so, you know, it's interesting. Maybe this is a training issue among those that are stitching the baseball. Also, Major League Baseball announcing it's not going to test for marijuana usage by players, but there are going to be tests for opioids, Nick?
Well, it's a reflection of really what happened in the summertime with Tyler Skaggs. And the surprising thing is that Major League Baseball and the Players Union moved as quickly as they did to come up with some sort of policy about opioids and then to recommend that the players be sent off for some sort of treatment or care, as opposed to what was happening in the 1980s, which was, you know, when you were using, abusing drugs, you got suspended for God knows how long. So that's a plus. And you figured that you know, any social ill that is, you know, any ill that is broadly across society is going to be reflected in Major League Baseball, and this is certainly was one of them. And so the hope is that this works appropriately and that there is some sort of correct care and that players can move on and do what they've got to do. So that's the good thing. I mean, Bill was on Morning Edition today, and he talked at some length about this. So it's a plus, and it did move really quickly.
Well, and are you surprised about the changing stance on marijuana?
Yeah, and for pain management, I'll be interested to know if they can use it recreationally. I would assume so at this point. If they're going to allow it, not really test for it, why not? But yeah, I can't believe how progressive baseball is on this. I mean, they are not very forward thinking on a lot of things. Major League Baseball, not like the NBA is on a lot of issues. But yeah, for them to move as quickly as they have on this, and to get the kind of agreement as Nick mentioned with the union and everyone involved, that it's a good sign of things to come.
Well, and you still have a number of markets where teams play where marijuana is illegal, even for therapeutic purposes. So it's interesting to have baseball sort of say we recognize the value of it for pain management.
That Denver road trip is going to be a popular one for every Major League Baseball team.
Yes, the Denver Costco. All right. You're listening to the Triple Play on Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. Bill Shaken, LA Times. Just what are you looking forward to in the next couple of weeks here, or at least between now and the pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training?
Hanukkah and Christmas.
But yeah.
Baseball.
Aren't we all?
I think we're looking for the Dodgers to solidify their pitching staff. They do need some depth, but again, it's not desperate. So if the Dodgers open the season today, you're looking at a rotation of Bueller, Kershaw, Maeda, Urias, Stripling's there, Gonsolin's there, May's there, where, you know, the Angels have literal vacancies. So they're still trying to work on that. But in the meantime, you know, they're a better club today than they were this time last week, and the Dodgers are not. The flip side is the season opens in 3 months, not tomorrow.
And, you know, maybe Mike Socha can come out of retirement. Catch for the Angels would be a way to. Probably, you know, could probably still handle the position.
Catcher, right?
Yeah. Hey, Bill, thanks very much as always. Good to talk with you.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thanks. Bill Shaken, LA Times national baseball correspondent. Final word, gentlemen. Nick, biggest need for the Angels.
Biggest need for the Angels is a starting pitcher and has been for a good long time.
All right. Abe, for biggest need for the Dodgers.
If they are holding up this Francisco Lindor deal that the Indians, they're all
shortstop.
If Gavin Lux is the reason why they're holding it up, they shouldn't, because Lindor is exactly what they hope Lux to be in a few years. So why not get that all-star shortstop now?
And then what happens to Corey Seager?
Then that's where you address your pitching needs.
Ah, so you package Corey, maybe a prospect or two, and you go after...
Absolutely.
He's a Wheeler dealer, I'm telling you.
Corey Kluber or what?
Yeah. An upgrade.
Corey for Corey. All right. Gentlemen, thanks very much. Always a pleasure. It's the Triple Play joining us today on Air Talk. And, of course, they'll be back probably next month to preview things before the start of spring training. Film Week comes up next.